The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with New England's new era. Can Big Mac be the missing piece of a championship meal? We start there. Meanwhile, decisions. Is it possible the coach has it right in Chicago and everybody else has it wrong? We'll take you there. And 1 week from go time, there is one major concern in Dallas. We'll tell you what it is and how it could crush the Cowboys season as we get up with you, starting right now on a Thursday. Delighted to be here at the Seaport. I am Greeny, and I have put together an outstanding squad of football acumen this morning. Wait until we get into this. Adam Schefter is ready to go. Oh, Mel Kiper Jr. makes his triumphant return to get up, and can't wait to hear from Bart Scott this morning as well as we get rolling with you. We'll get to all the football in a moment, but we start with the performance of the night and the star power in Hollywood or nearby. That's Gerrit Cole of the Yankees. He's been great. Shohei Ohtani of the Angels. He's been the best player in baseball, bottom of one. Oh, Gerrit Cole wins that matchup on a 2-2 pitch. Bottom of three, two outs, and Ohtani back at the plate looking for revenge. But this time, Cole goes upstairs, and that ends the inning. Yankees had a 2-0 lead. Bottom of six, runner at second, nobody out. Angels down 3-1. Ohtani strikes out three times against Gerrit Cole. And it wasn't just Ohtani that Cole was getting. He had everybody's number. Brandon Marsh goes down. Max Stassi will go down. 15 strikeouts for Gerrit Cole, who leads the majors with 215 Ks this year. Top of eight. Aaron Judge looking for a little breathing room. Oh, and that's plenty. That's his 30th home run of the season off Steve Cishek. And the Yankees get a much-needed win, snapping their losing streak by a 4-1 score. And again, Gerrit Cole, 215 strikeouts this season, which is now 33 shy of the Yankee single-season record, which is held by Ron Guidry from 1978. It was his ninth double-digit strikeout game this year for Cole, tying David Cone's single-season franchise record. Since the start of August, his ERA is .73. Meanwhile, let's get up and go with other action, beginning at the U.S. Open under the roof at Arthur Ashe. The 2017 U.S. Open champ Sloane Stephens made quick work of 17-year-old sensation Coco Gauff with an upset in straight, 6-4 and 6-2 in a match that took just 66 minutes to play. International soccer, Cristiano Ronaldo making history, scoring his record-breaking 110th international goal in the 89th minute of Portugal's World Cup qualifier game against Ireland. That tied the game. A few minutes later, Ronaldo would add the game winner to complete what was a stunning comeback. And then news from the NBA. Woj is reporting that Hawks center Clint Capella has agreed to a two-year, $46 million contract extension, so he is now signed in Atlanta through the 24-25 season. And to the NFL, where the story of the week continues to be Mac Jones, officially the Patriots QB1 after beating out Cam Newton in a quarterback competition. Yesterday, both Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels talking about how they came to this conclusion.
Like, he's been able to show an ability to do things the way we want them done at a productive level. He's young. I'm sure he'll continue to learn and grow. We'll see where that goes. But that's why we drafted him. And I think he's come in and performed at a level that supports that.
You know, he really works hard. He puts a lot of time into it. You know, he's been well prepared each day. He's learned how to operate what we've asked him to operate so far. You know, he still has a lot to learn, but feel confident about his approach, his ability.
All right, so let's dive in. And Shefty, the reverberations of this thing continue to be felt really across the NFL. Let's go back over all of this. How did we get here? How did we get from Mac Jones being the 15th pick in the draft to being now, it really feels like, the heir apparent to Tom Brady?
Well, I would go back to the third overall pick of the draft, Greeny, because the 49ers, again, traded up with the idea that they were entirely comfortable taking Mac Jones at the number three spot. Now, ultimately, as they did their work, they came to the conclusion that Trey Lance's skill set was something that they couldn't pass on. But when they moved up there, they moved up there with the idea that they loved Mac Jones. So Mac Jones at one point clearly was in the conversation and good enough to go at number three. New England sat right where it was, and Mac Jones slid right to their spot at number 15 without the Patriots having to give up anything. And from the moment Mac Jones arrived in New England, he impressed them. And the more people you spoke to, the more people who watched him practice this summer, the teams that observed him in scrimmages, they all came away with the conclusion, Mac Jones is a stud. And so it became apparent, if you've got that type of player, what do you then do with Cam Newton? And I think after the Patriots saw Mac Jones lead 8 drives this preseason and the Patriots score on all 8 drives this preseason, they decided that as popular and as respected as Cam Newton is, that it was probably better off not having his shadow loom over a young rookie quarterback like Mac Jones. They move on from Cam, they give the job to Mac, and here we go with Mac versus Tua in the regular season opener between the Patriots and Dolphins.
Bama versus Bama, of course. And Mel, let me come to you because you are synonymous with the draft. So we talked so much about Mac Jones leading up and the qualities that people saw in him. Are you surprised that he is starting week one for Bill?
Not surprised, Green. I brought up early last year the comparison to Tom Brady. Everybody kind of laughed at it and said I was exaggerating. And I said he's not going to be necessarily Tom Brady, but he resembled Tom Brady. A lot of similarities there. Think about the completion percentage in college. 77% for Mac Jones last year. 41 touchdown passes, only 4 picks. Wore number 10. Didn't have the great athletic ability. Didn't beat you with his legs, but was accurate, was competitive, was incredibly intelligent, and he won games. And he played at Alabama. Tom played at Michigan. Tom, Mac, Brady, Jones, same amount of letters. A lot of similarities there. Brady Bledsoe. Remember the Brady Bledsoe thing? With Bledsoe hurt, hit by Mo Lewis, in steps Tom Brady, and they never look back. This is just a year earlier part than what it was a year earlier, but it's similar to what happened with Brady and Bledsoe. Now, instead of Cam Newton, real quick, we're going to Mac Jones. So the similarities are there. Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels obviously saw them. Is he going to be Tom Brady? Probably not. But he's certainly right now showed mentally, we know he's ready in that capacity, his accuracy, obviously the drives he's finishing. He won the locker room. When you heard those offensive linemen, those veterans say right away, this guy could be special. And you guys know, you played the game. If you win that locker room early on, that tells you an awful lot about what kind of quarterback he's going to be.
All right, there's only one of us here who played the game, actually, and that would be Bart. And I listen to Bart and Han every single day on ESPN Radio. And so I know, Bart Scott, that you are the skeptic in this conversation. Why?
Listen, just because it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck don't make it a duck. Listen, he can look like Tom Brady in the pocket. He can have the dad bod and everything that Tom Brady had, but it doesn't mean that he's going to be Tom Brady. But they don't need him to be Tom Brady, right? Because this is a user-friendly team right now that has great talent around Mac Jones. But when you talk about growth, and that's what you heard Bill Belichick say, the growth of Mac Jones, the growth is going to be stunted for a little while because the ceiling isn't that high for Mac Jones. When you get an Alabama player, you get a player that's pro-ready, but a player that's pretty much close to what he's going to be, right? Because he's going to get tremendous coaching. He's going to have tremendous football acumen. Listen, stop me when you tell me the last Alabama quarterback to come in this draft or come in this league and take the league by storm. Listen, I thought it was a mistake to get rid of Cam. Maybe Cam's shadow, to Adam's point, was just too big. The fact that Mac Jones had his worst practice when Cam Newton came back, and maybe you had to tell Mac Jones that this was his team, so you had to get rid of Cam Newton. But listen, in this league, defenses are going to break him down in about 5 games about the time he plays Tampa, because they're going to see what he can do and what he can't do. And I think it's going to be a long season for Mac Jones. Can he get him to the AFC Championship? Yes, of course. Like, I took 2 rookie quarterbacks to the AFC Championship. But the problem is the field of young, talented quarterbacks in this league are far greater than the ones in which we went to and the ones that Tom Brady went to. When you think about Mahomes, you think about, at some point your quarterback's going to have to win you a game, not crash the car.
Go ahead, Shefty.
Bart, I may not know what I'm talking about, but I like to listen to people who do know what they're talking about. You heard Mel compare him to Brady, and not saying that he's going to be Tom Brady. But I go back again to the 49ers and when they traded up and how enamored they were with Mac Jones. I go back to the voices in my ear. One head coach last week telling me that they thought that Mac Jones could be a Pro Bowl quarterback for 10 years. And then I go to another voice on Mac Jones, another head coach, who told me that Mac Jones' floor is Kirk Cousins and his ceiling is Drew Brees. Now, those are good compliments. Those are strong comparisons. Those are meaningful words. And again, we'll see how it shakes out. There may not be a lot of Alabama quarterbacks that have had a lot of success. Well, at one point, there weren't a lot of Michigan quarterbacks that had a lot of success. And then Tom Brady came along. Now Mac Jones, with the way he works, has the chance to make the mark. And we're going to see. Either you're going to be right or all these NFL people are going to be right. But it's going to play out over time, and it starts to unfold a week from Sunday in Foxborough.
Sometimes, Bart Scott, and Mel as well, but Bart, let me throw this thought at you. Sometimes the situation into which a player is drafted winds up being one of the most important factors in how that player turns out. We've seen quarterbacks ruined by getting into the wrong situation. I don't know that you could be in a better situation than Mac Jones is in right now based upon many of the user-friendly factors you just talked about, Bart, and that feels like an important part of this.
No, absolutely. Listen, he's in a tremendous situation to start off his football career, to learn the game, to understand, to be surrounded. He doesn't have to do too much. This is a good football player. Usually good football players go high in the draft, which means they go to a bad football team. It just so happened that a good franchise where trying to recover from having a Hall of Fame, maybe potentially the greatest of all time type of quarterback, and now he's going to come into a great situation. But I'm telling you, I think it's a mistake for him to start this early in the season. It's a long season. I think guys will figure him out by the later season. Can they win a division? Maybe, possibly. Can they win a Super Bowl? Not at all.
What, no, Mel, no give us
Greeny,
the final word.
Greeny, you talk about a player stepping into a certain situation. The irony and funny part about this is Mac Jones going to San Francisco would have been met with skepticism and critics out in the Bay Area. Not that it would have mattered. Mac Jones very well may be tough enough mentally and talented enough physically to overcome it. But the fact of the matter is, in New England, he was embraced and welcomed. In San Francisco, it might not have been that way from the fan base, who couldn't believe that the 49ers would give up that much to go trade up for Mac Jones. But in New England, it was welcome. It was appreciated. It was something that that area embraced. And that, alone with the Patriots organization, gives Mac Jones another opportunity to succeed aside from his talents.
Mel, give me a final word.
Real quick, for Bart's comment about the Alabama quarterbacks, that means nothing. That's a ridiculous comment, Bart. I mean, come on, we can debate that all day. Those quarterbacks, A.J. McCarron, Greg McElroy, Jacob Coker, weren't highly rated. These quarterbacks that you're talking about out and the Alabama system winning weren't projected to be great NFL quarterbacks. So Tua was, obviously Mac was, and Jalen Hurts really wasn't. That's why it was a second-round pick. So forget about the Alabama history of quarterback. It has no impact at all on Mac Jones.
This is the kind of morning we're going to have. By the way, I could throw the names Joe Namath and Ken Stabler into the conversation, but that's a whole other time. You see what this is? These are all the things we didn't get to in our first segment today because these guys are so ready to go on this morning. So we are going to take a quick break, and we have all this and more to come, including 1 week from go time, one major concern in Dallas. We'll tell you what it is and how it could crush the Cowboys season. Plus, is it game over for Cam Newton, or will someone sign him? Shefty has the very latest as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com and by T-Mobile. Don't miss the T-Mobile kickoff concert with Old Dominion streaming live on Facebook and YouTube Saturday at noon Eastern. All right, we talked about Mac Jones. Let's talk about another rookie quarterback, Justin Fields. Bears traded up to 11 to take him. Just the fifth time in the common draft era that Chicago traded up in the first round. And Fields immediately impressed in the preseason. Set the world on fire week one, 14 of 20. In three games this preseason, he's thrown two touchdowns, no picks, ran for another score. But he will start the regular season not starting. He'll be behind Andy Dalton despite Fields having basically outplayed him through much of what we could see in the preseason. Here's the general manager, Ryan Pace, on the decision to go with Dalton over Fields.
I just feel like we're just in a good position with Andy. You know, it starts with how we feel about Andy, and we're very confident in him and where he's at. So there's no need for us to rush Justin. Playing quarterback in the NFL, there's so much that goes into that, you know, and so much different than you'd even see in the preseason. Just the weekly preparation, seeing NFL defenses in the regular season, and all those things. And I just think the more time he has to learn that and observe that, the better off for him.
So that sounds very reasonable, and yet we all know that the fans are losing their minds in Chicago and calling in the talk shows and saying, we got to put the kid in there. Shefty, what can you tell us behind the scenes about how this decision is getting made and when we should expect to see Justin Fields?
Listen, they want to be patient with Justin Fields. That is the game plan going into the season, and we'll see how long they can stick to that game plan. It's one thing to say it in early September before you've lost the game, before Andy Dalton has thrown an interception, before the fans want to riot for Justin Fields, because everybody there does want to see him greeny. But I can tell you that going into the season, they truly believe that the right course of action is to start Andy Dalton, who's been QB1 there from the moment they signed him, and to bring along Justin Fields very slowly. Matt Nagy saw this play out in Kansas City when he had Alex Smith, the veteran, take over for a full season. Patrick Mahomes, the rookie first-round draft pick, sit on the bench, and they believe that the longer they can sit Fields, the better off they will be for the long term. And so that is the plan going into the regular season.
So that's the plan. Bart Scott, if you were the coach of the Chicago Bears, with whatever information you have available to you right now, who would be your starting quarterback week one?
I'm going with Andy Dalton because you got to consider the opponent. There's levels to this thing, Greeny, right? Listen, preseason is one thing. Vanilla defense, not a lot of complex blitz packages. You know, when you think about, you know, the regular season, it speeds up. They're going to prepare for you for 2 weeks, understand what you can do well, can't do well. One of the concerning things was in the preseason when you think about, you know, Justin Fields taking that tremendous hit in Buffalo. You know, this is a lack of understanding that he doesn't have that guy picked up, that he's the hot, he has the hot read. And at this point, I need somebody who can have answers with their arms and not their legs. You know, you think about Justin Fields, even in college with a good offensive line in Ohio State, he was sacked 52 times in 22 games. Listen, I remember, well, not picking up, and this is the type of size that can end careers. Right here, that's what you're taught to do. You're taught to tackle the arm. And if he gets in there, he goes against Leonard Floyd, he goes against Aaron Donald. They tackle him arm, he may not get up from his hit. As Michael Myers took it well, but it took him about 5 to 10 minutes to get up. So I don't want my rookie quarterback, the future of my franchise, taking a hit like that because he may not get back up and he may have a shortened rookie year.
To be clear, that was Bart Scott doing exactly that to a young Ben Roethlisberger once upon a time. So, Mel, I mean, take us through it again, through all the stages of the evaluation and what you've now been able to see, as the rest of us have, in the preseason. What do you think of the Justin Fields of it all?
Justin Fields is gifted and he's incredibly tough. And I agree with Bart 100%. I think a win-win here is what the Chicago Bears are looking at. Andy Dalton is like Alex Smith was for Andy Reid in Kansas City. They thought they were a playoff team. They went with Andy Dalton here in Chicago for the same reason Alex Smith was a quarterback in Kansas City. If he's not getting it done and he's not winning games, then they go to Justin Fields. Alex Smith did the job. And that allowed Patrick Mahomes to redshirt. Only played in that final regular season game. That was Alex Smith's team. Patrick Mahomes did not play in that year, except I said that one game. Here we have Andy Dalton. If he's getting it done, it's a win. Then Justin Fields sits, watches, and learns from Andy Dalton. He gets used to the speed of the game, watching it from the sidelines, adapts that way. If Andy Dalton doesn't, if it's game 2, 3, 4, 5, you go to Justin Fields. And once you do that, you turn the page, you never look back. And I agree with Bart. Mm-hmm. In New England, it would have been preferable to have Cam have that job. And then if he doesn't get it done, go to Mac. But Cam wasn't good enough. They showed that he could be the guy. That's why they were forced to go with Mac. Here, Dalton has shown enough to say, I'm the guy. But as soon as he isn't, then Justin Fields is the quarterback. And as they say, you never look back.
It's worth pointing out, and I fully understand the comparison everyone is making. It's worth pointing out that the year Alex Smith held off Patrick Mahomes, if you will, he led the NFL in passing. Andy Dalton has been a below-average NFL quarterback the last 5 years. That's just a fact. That's what the numbers say. It's not a personal attack. It is the reality. It's been a long time since Andy Dalton played football that looked anything like what Alex Smith was doing then. But that doesn't mean that this isn't the wrong way or that it is the wrong way to start the season. We just see how it goes, Shefty.
Well, again, you are operating under the fact that Andy Dalton was playing in Cincinnati, that he was playing in Dallas when the Cowboys' offensive line fell apart and he was thrust into a difficult situation. We haven't seen Andy Dalton in an offense like Chicago's where a team was planning around him. Again, we'll see how the numbers bear. I think that Andy Dalton is a guy that a lot of front offices around the league have respect for. And I think front offices think Andy Dalton is a better quarterback than fans do. Fans have a perception that Andy Dalton's not very good. I think Andy Dalton's pretty good. I think he's going to show up this year and play pretty well, better than people think, for the Chicago Bears.
I got a bunch of notes yesterday, Bart, from someone whose opinion I value, who said, you don't realize how bad this offensive line is. So let's just take as a given, maybe we really have a bad offensive line. How does that factor into this? Because right. Some will look at it and say, well, put the kid out there. He's so much more athletic. He can run around and do things like that. Bart, does that make sense?
It doesn't, because you need somebody that can find the areas in which to deliver the football with their arm. Because you think about Justin Fields running around, you have some splash plays. You're also going to have some really bad plays, because guys are going to bait him to things. They're going to give him that open edge. They're going to make sure they crowd the line of scrimmage, not give up easy slants and bubble screens, and make him go through his progressions. You don't want a young quarterback going through that. You damn sure don't want him doing that against the reigning number one defense coming back in the opening game with the Rams. You don't want that type of smoke.
Yes, Aaron Donald could ruin a lot of things right off the bat. That's how they open on Sunday night in Los Angeles. Let me pause on that thought. We have so much more football coming your way, including this. 1 week from go time, there was one major concern in Dallas. We'll tell you what it is and how it could be a real problem for their season. Plus, Deshaun Watson in Miami, Tua's head coach, trying to make all the trade talk go away with a bold statement. We have the very latest from Shefty next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Want to make sure you know thousands affected by Hurricane Ida urgently need our support. You can donate at redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond to and help people recover from this disaster. All right, back to the football conversation here. Adam Schefter, let's run the hurry up, and we will start with a related story as far as the Saints in their first game.
Well, with the Saints being displaced and in Texas, the NFL officially announced yesterday, Greeny, that the Saints-Packers regular season opener is being moved to Jacksonville. The Saints had to play in an NFL stadium. AT&T Stadium in Dallas wasn't going to be available due to a previously arranged concert, and so the league and the Saints wound up on Jacksonville, which is where the Packers and Saints will be opening this season a week from Sunday. As for the Chiefs, excellent young safety Tyrann Mathieu was placed on reserve COVID yesterday after he tested positive. And it's a situation where he now will be out for 5 to 10 days. And so we'll have to see if and when he can make it back for the start of the regular season. But he has tested positive. That's always a concern as you get closer here to the games counting. And we are still reeling from the shock of the Patriots releasing Cam Newton, who's now a free agent, able to choose his own team. We'll see how much interest there is in him. Keep in mind that Cam Newton had been on the market in each of the past two off seasons. There was not a lot of interest in him. And now it's a difficult situation. Having had training camp wrap up, Cam Newton would have to learn a playbook. I think there'll be teams that are concerned about his vaccination status. You want to have as many players vaccinated as possible. There are a whole host of issues. It may take an injury with a team losing a quarterback before Cam Newton finds the type of role that he would like, that he's deserving of.
Yeah, we had talked about that on the radio the other day, Schefter, you and I completely agree. And all of this feels as though it has a little extra urgency today because we are officially 1 week away from the NFL's season opener, and it starts with a bang. The Bucs' road to repeating starts with Dallas, and Tampa in that game is a 70% favorite, according to FBI, looking to continue a trend for defending champs who've won 6 of the last 7 season openers. And Tom Brady looks to continue his assault on Father Time. He'll be making his 300th regular season start. He can also join Vinny Testaverde as the only quarterback ever to win a game at the age of 44. And, of course, the game will also mark the return of Dak Prescott in his first game since that gruesome injury of a year ago. Yesterday, Teddy Bruschi voiced these concerns here on Get Up.
I just hope Dak is forthcoming with all the information he gives the trainers and he gives the organization, because I just know Dak is that type of competitor that says, I'm fine, I need more reps, put me in, I'm ready to go. So you take a hit, you make a throw, then you feel it, then all of a sudden Dak's like, I'm still good, everything's okay. So I just hope Dak is forthcoming in everything that he is feeling with this injury to the trainer, so he's 100%.
It's an interesting thought. Sometimes you have to protect the player from himself. Bart, as the player on this panel today, what did you think about when you heard Teddy talking about that? Because I understand that it does seem like a legitimate concern.
I mean, Teddy's spot on, right? Dak has to be very transparent and honest with them so they can take the appropriate measures. And it may not be the best thing for the team, for Dak, to play, because they're trying to win the war, not just these small individual battles. You know, I'm very concerned, one, that the team, that the personnel that's getting Dak ready to play the defending champ is that defense, because it's nothing like what they're going to see on that Thursday night. And I'm concerned that Dak hasn't been hit for real. He hasn't had to carry anybody's body weight. He hasn't had to run. Nobody's tackled him low. So we don't know how he's going to respond, but I got an idea about how Tom Bowles is going to defend him, and it's going to test Dak Prescott's confidence in the training staff and his injuries early on. You don't get healthy ever, right? You get hurt in preseason. That injury's there for the entire year. You don't get better or heal up or things don't get 100%. He's going to be compromised the entire year.
Well, there are so many different concerns, or there are at least two major concerns. One, he's coming back from the gruesome injury and hasn't, to your point, taken a hit yet or any of those, crossed any of those psychological hurdles. And then Schefter, obviously he's been dealing with this lat and the shoulder and everything else, and will have, I think, a total of 5 practices to get ready for the game on Thursday. So it's one thing for everyone to say that he's fine, but from the people you talk to, what is the expectation?
Look, I think that they are comfortable and satisfied with where he's at right now. He's come along. He's going to play. He's not going to miss any games. That's not in question. The question is, how effective will he be? Is he going to be the Dak that everybody knows and believes in? Is he going to be 95% of that, 90%? At what percentage is he going to be? But again, we know the shoulder and lat injury from this summer that prevented him from practicing on a regular basis. And that doesn't even include the fact that he suffered that catastrophic ankle injury. And the reason that maybe the shoulder and lat acted up this summer is because there was so much time and energy and focus put on the ankle injury rehab during the offseason. So there are a whole host of things. Look, it's hard enough for an NFL player to make it through a season healthy as it is. So Dak is having to overcome a couple of other factors. He's going to do it. He's going to play. He's not going to miss time. But everybody is curious to see how much it does hold him back, if it does at all.
And so I'm excited to ask you this question, Mel, because the Cowboys, this is the biggest problem they have is that it is now September. They're always the best team in the NFL in July and August. Just ask any of their fans. But now we get to the months where the games actually start being played. So I've had a million people come on here and tell me the Cowboys are going to win the division. They're a legitimate Super Bowl, all that kind of stuff. You tell me, how good are the Dallas Cowboys going to be this year, Mel Kiper?
Well, on paper, they always do. I think the weapons that Dak has around him are great. Whatever all the guys touched on about the physical situation, that injury situation with Dak is viable. Think about the defensive linemen. You got to block and you got to keep off of Dak Prescott with Washington, with the Eagles, and the teams are going to be playing there. I'm a New York Giants supporter. I know most people aren't. They don't like Daniel Jones. I like Josh Allen, but everybody did. I think people will like Daniel Jones a little more. He's not the problem. It's the offensive line. You can't beat him if you can't block him. That goes to the Chicago Bears, regardless of who's quarterback in the Chicago Bears. Can't beat him if you can't block him. Same thing with the New York Giants. Andrew Thomas has to be a lot better. If he is, the Giants, I think, win this division over the Cowboys and over Washington.
Wow. Bart Scott, what do you think of that? Mel's got the Giants winning the NFC East. Wow. What do you think? Wow.
I have the Giants winning the NFC East as well, but I think they are the best, the most complete team offensively and defensive-wise. Wow. You know, I think Dak Prescott may not make it to the finish line. But the thing about the Dallas Cowboys is their front line guys are great, but they're thin. And if all it takes is one Tyron Smith neck injury, you know, hurting, or Lionel Collins, and I think Dak Prescott is going to be compromised. And if I'm Todd Bowles, I'm going to play him like a pocket quarterback, and I'm going to dare him to run. I'm going to tell those linebackers to run him down and hit him low, and I'm going to tell Ndamukong Suh or Vita Vea, whoever gets in there, jump on his back and see if he's willing to give you a piggyback ride. Let's test how strong that leg is. That's just the reality of what this league has always been about. If you have an injury, we're going to exploit it.
Wow. Shefty, that conversation took a bunch of turns I didn't see coming. What do you think?
Lots of Giants love here. We're going to have to see how this plays out and ages over time, Green. Get ready to hold on to this tape and play it back in December to see if the Giants, as Mel and Bart are saying, are ready to win the NFC East. We'll see how that holds up. I think people in Washington and Dallas and Philadelphia might take exception with that, but we will see how that plays out.
You know who takes exception with it? My entire staff are Giants fans, and they're all devastated. Not one of them believes in the team. So we'll see what winds up happening. We'll see who winds up being right. In the meantime, let me get to what I think is becoming an increasingly interesting situation. In Miami, during a team meeting on Tuesday, the Dolphins coach Brian Flores addressed recent reports that have tied the Dolphins to a potential trade for Deshaun Watson, telling his players and staff that Tua is the quarterback. Here's Flores with more.
Conversations I have with the team, players, you know, those conversations are private. I will say that Tua is our quarterback. I think he's had a good training camp. I think he's made a lot of progress. I think he's made a lot of improvement. We're pleased with where he is, and he's going about his preparations for New England the way he should be. It's important for players on the team to feel like they have the support of their teammates, their coaches, and everyone in the organization. I think that's very important.
It's such a complicated situation for so many reasons. Shefty, take us inside. What can you tell us about all of this with the Dolphins?
Look, there are a handful of teams that inquired about Deshaun Watson. Why wouldn't they? There are teams that inquired about Aaron Rodgers. Why wouldn't they? Again, I think teams are doing their jobs. Where it becomes tricky is when there are reports that emerge that the Dolphins are interested. Okay, at one point, I'm sure they were. That is not a surprise. But Brian Flores is focused on the season. And the fact of the matter is right now, the Houston Texans aren't trading Deshaun Watson. They will at some point. We just don't know whether that's going to be next week, next month, or this offseason. The time is going to come where the Texans do trade Deshaun Watson, and most people around the league believe he will never play for the Houston Texans ever again. But the 53-man rosters were set yesterday. Deshaun Watson still is on the Texans roster. They haven't gotten what they wanted from another team. They're not going to move him unless they do. He's got his own legal situations that take precedence right now that everybody's trying to handle as the investigations are unfolding with the FBI, the Houston Police Department, the National Football League. There's a whole host of issues here on a very complicated story that may not have a precedent that we've seen in the NFL. And so there's a lot of unsettled parts, and other teams get dragged into that through no fault of their own. Brian Flores right now is focused on getting ready for the New England Patriots. And you heard him say, Tua is our quarterback. If he's saying Tua is our quarterback, well, that's the way it is today.
Correct. And but as Teddy Bruschi said yesterday, the words that should always be attached to that are for now. In the NFL, every decision they make is for now.
A head coach is not going to say that, of course.
Right. No. Of course.
We know that, but you know what? He's the quarterback for now going into the season. How do we know that Tua is not going to go in and play exceptionally well? And if the Dolphins had an idea of being interested in Deshaun Watson at some point, they'll move off that. Aaron Rodgers shows up. People think, well, it could be his last year. We don't know how the season's going to go. That's what's so interesting, is each season resets itself and changes the landscape for everybody. We go into the season with ideas about the way things will unfold and perceptions we have, and that's true today. But what's true today isn't going to be true next month or after this season.
100% right. And so, Mel, that leads you to the question. Like, you evaluated Tua as closely, and he was one of the most unique evaluations of all time based upon the injury history and everything else. What do you expect from him now that he gets this opportunity?
I think they touched on it, the improvement. He had that hip injury, and his arm strength wasn't where it was going to be once he was completely healthy. So he needed time. He didn't have that. The COVID year, all the interruptions, all the lack of time with that quarterback. So I think you write off last year and you go to this year. He should be a lot better. And that arm strength that we saw at Alabama should be back now that he's 2 years removed from that hip injury. The pressure in this AFC to keep up with all those great young quarterbacks forces you to maybe have an interest in somebody else. Tua's the guy, though, and he deserves to be, and I think he'll be a heck of a lot better this season than what we saw last year.
Bart, what do you think?
Well, he better be, because head coaches are only as faithful as their options, and right now he's just the best option that they have right now. The fact that he hasn't run that locker room over, won that coaching staff over in a year is surprising, right? Because he came in highly touted, and you would think that he was showing them something they didn't believe. The fact that he said he didn't understand or didn't know the playbook was concerning. It's something that you can be true that you shouldn't say. I think it's ironic that the two Alabama quarterbacks could determine the division. I think people are sleeping on what Brian Flores and this Miami Dolphins team has done with this roster. This is one of the best rosters in all of football, not just in this division. And it could come down to who has the better quarterback, Mac Jones or Tua Tagovailoa, because I think the rosters outside of that are equal.
And they play week one, September 12th. Those two guys go head-to-head. Quick break here. Much more to come as we continue. And also this reminder that our next UFC fight is Saturday night in Las Vegas. We'll get to that. But coming up, they're talking in Green Bay, and the things they're already saying could rewrite the future of the entire franchise. You will hear exactly what those are. Plus, more from Mel. He loves this year's class of rookie quarterbacks, but doesn't think any of them will be the best rookie this year. You'll hear who will be as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, back on Get Up, and with Mel Kiper here this morning, we're going to play a game called What's the Word? You give us a word, Mel, to describe these rookie quarterbacks so far as we head into the season. What is the word for Trevor Lawrence?
expected, Greeny. We thought he would be great at some point early on, and it's going to take a little bit of time because you can't beat him if you can't block him. The offensive line in Jacksonville, that group has to support Trevor Lawrence, but he showed in that final preseason game what type of ability he has. He went number one for a reason. I say he was one of the best historically great quarterbacks coming out of the draft in the last 40 years. I think he'll prove that once the help around him gets a lot better.
Okay, next one is Trey Lance. What's the word for him?
Developmental. One game against a 1AA team last year, 17 total, all against 1AA opposition. Obviously, the accuracy, the development as a passer. We know he can beat you with his legs. They will have packages for him to complement Jimmy G. If Jimmy G stays healthy, he will be like Taysom Hill. If Jimmy G gets hurt, then he becomes the guy. But developmental for Trey Lance.
Okay, now I'm leaning forward in my seat. Watch the word for Zach Wilson.
Cupcake, Granny, cupcake. It was cupcakes at BYU. It's been cupcakes in the preseason against guys, a lot of which aren't even in the NFL right now, okay? Against defenses that won't be vanilla anymore, Granny. Cupcakes, the dessert is over. Now, Zach Wilson, you love the arm talent. It's undeniable. Now the dessert's over. Now comes the main course.
Okay, well, we'll see. I can live with that, but I've been very excited, as have a lot of Jet fans, with what we have seen thus far. And so let's take a moment here, because I want to get into the odds on who is going to be the offensive rookie of the year, because the quarterbacks always are at the top of this. And we made the point that Mac Jones, after being named the starter in New England, vaulted all the way up to where you see he is now the second favorite on your list, Najee Harris, down there at plus 1,000, so a 10-1. Is the closest, the favorite among non-quarterbacks. I don't know why I had so much trouble saying that. In the meantime, let me ask the question to you gentlemen here. Who do you think is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year? Having said all the words we just said, Mel, who do you think will ultimately be the Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Easiest position is give him the football and let him go. It's an instinctive position. As long as you can block, and Najee Harris can, we know he can catch the ball and he runs hard. The Steelers need him. Compliment Big Ben, who could be his final year. They're going to challenge the Browns and the Ravens. I think the Browns get to the Super Bowl. First time in their history it would ever happen. I think the Browns do. So they're the third team on paper. But I think Najee Harris ends up being Rookie of the Year. And if he is, they close that gap and they challenge the Browns and the Ravens.
Wow. Well, there's a lot to unpack in that thought alone. But Bart, let me quickly, before I get your pick, just come to you on that. Because the whole world, as you know, is burying the Steelers. But Mel seems not to be, and neither am I. What do you think of Najee Harris this year?
No, I like Najee Harris, and I think he's going to be exactly what the doctor ordered for the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that was 11-0. Listen, I'm a believer that Big Ben is going to be back, and he's going to be back better than ever. You think about that Tommy John type of surgery. You know, you think about pitchers, right? They have an innings limit the next year because they know that the tendon isn't strong. I think he's back and he's going to have more zip on the ball and be able to push the ball down the field. They're not going to ask him to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game. I think they'll be just fine.
I think that's right. I think rumors of their demise have been greatly exaggerated. In the meantime.
But do you need my rookie of the year, Granny?
Yes. What's your pick?
It's Javonte Williams, man, for Denver. If you love Najee Harris, you got to love him. He's even better. You talk about a guy that rushed for over 1,000 yards last year, and he was splitting time. You talk about Denver. Everybody's sleeping on Denver. It's the reason why Deshaun Watson had him on his list. It's the reason why A.A. Ryan had him on their list. They are stacked. You think about Courtland Sutton coming back. Jerry Jeudy's going to be better. Noah Fant, K.J. Hamler. They have some of the best skill positions in the game right now. You're not going to be able to have an eight-man box. And this kid's going to stretch you like a Julian salad, Greeny.
You know, Mel, it's funny because Javonte Williams was the third running back in the draft and the one that got the least attention because Najee Harris went to Alabama and Travis Etienne went to Clemson. But he may very well have an enormous impact. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think there's no question. The running backs will. Pass rushers usually and the running backs do have that impact. And I'm with Bartle in Denver. I just say when you mentioned Jeudy and you mentioned Hamler, catch the football. Jeudy had those drops last year. Those two young receivers got to be more consistent. Sutton coming off the injury. If it all comes together, Denver could be an underrated team. But catch the ball, okay?
Fair enough. In the meantime, I would make my pick, but I am instead going to choose to cede my time today to the gentleman from New England who joined us yesterday. I asked him this same question. Here's what Teddy Bruschi said.
Mike, what I'm seeing from that kid in New York, the New York Jets rookie quarterback, Zach Wilson. Now, this kid is decisive. He seems like he knows what he's doing. He goes out there and he's got a little flair. There's just something about this kid. And I'm going to say, I'm going to go with Zach Wilson, my choice for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
What you saw there was my reaction to that, Bart, because candidly, Teddy saying that represents the best thing that has happened to the Jets since you played for them. So I will give my pick for Zach Wilson as well. What do you think, Bart? You cover that team. You're as close to it as anybody. What do you think of the young player so far?
I think he's lived up to the expectations, Green. I think this system fits him very well, getting him on the move, changing his launch point. Also, the run game is going to be dynamic. I think the addition of Morgan Moses gives him a right tackle so he's not, burping. He can burp the baby a little bit. If Becton can get in shape and get right, I think that this team could surprise a lot of people. I just don't know if he can win the Rookie of the Year because he may not have the wins that he needs to be able to be a qualifier for that award.
Mel, I mean, you used the word cupcake, and I get it. Obviously, he came from BYU, and it's just been preseason so far. But generally, you were high on him coming in, and I think he's showing you everything with the arm that we were expecting.
No doubt. I'm talking about BYU cupcakes, now preseason. I think the talent's undeniable, Greeny. He can spin it. But I remember hearing similar excitement, Greeny, about Sam Darnold. So let's realize, let Zach Wilson play against the varsity, not the JV or fresh sophomore, and we'll see what he can do. So this talk about Rookie of the Year, I think, is grossly exaggerated.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you anymore.
And by that,
I mean I've stopped listening. We've moved on from that, Mel. We've moved on. I lived through the Sam Darnold experience. I have to move on. I renamed my children Sam and Darnold. They can only go to the DMV many times.
You were killing Josh Allen and bragging about Sam Darnold. I just have to bring it up, Granny, because you were killing my boy Josh during those early days with Sam, remember?
Of course I remember it, and we'll see what winds up happening here, one way or another. I was excited yesterday, and I'm not going to let this dim my enthusiasm. Meanwhile, Bart, you know who else was excited yesterday? Michael Strahan. Did you see this moment on Good Morning America? This was well done. The New York Giants are going to retire Strahan's number, and they had Eli Manning pop up out of a box on Good Morning America yesterday wearing Strahan's 92 to make this announcement. What do you think, Bart?
No, I think it's well-deserved. I mean, Michael Strahan, one of the greatest personalities, also one of the better football players, one of the all-time greats when you talk about the New York Giants. And it's funny, man. I just love watching Eli and him post-career. I can't wait to see him on the streaming service on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and when he goes back to college and all the fun stuff, man. Only thing better than Eli is more Eli. And congratulations to Michael Strahan.
Absolutely. That's well done. So we're looking forward to that. And we can look forward to great college football this weekend. And we're going to dive into some of these games a little more in our next hour. But we got Bama, Miami, and then Georgia, Clemson Saturday on ABC. It doesn't get any better than that. Then Sunday night, Notre Dame, Florida State. Monday night, Louisville and Ole Miss. All four games available streaming live on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Coming up, New England's new era. Can Big Mac be the missing piece of a championship meal? We're talking about it. It's Get Up on ESPN.